We should thank Steve, right?
Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve. Bloody Steve, thanks. Hi, everybody. It's Bill and it's Wendy.
Why no enthusiasm? He did a fine newscast.
He did a great news. Steve, that was beyond perfect. It was incredible.
It was short of perfect, but thank incredible. You. I appreciate it.
I loved it.
Worked very hard on it.
Yeah, I know. It shows.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely shows. All right. I'm Bill. That's Wendy.
What's up with you?
No, you didn't hear a word of it.
I want to start up by saying this. Nothing in the world makes me feel older than the MTV Awards. Nothing.
Yeah, I tuned into that for a little bit last night and was completely lost.
I honestly felt like my own great-grandfather while watching that. I didn't know who anybody was.
I know.
I disliked them for reasons that don't make sense. There was a guy named G-Eazy. Did you ever see a guy named G-Eazy?
No. Who I like his name.
He was like a mannequin. He was just standing there and he introduced somebody else that I didn't know. I think that's why I don't like it, because I like to consider myself knowledgeable about whatever's going on. And then when the MTV Awards come on, I don't know who anybody is. There were a handful of people who I recognized and whose work I knew, but for the most part, I didn't know who they were. So they cut to this guy, G-Eazy, who's just a human mannequin. He's as stiff as could possibly be. And he introduces somebody and he throws out some joke that I didn't understand. And the audience they applauded. And I'm like, I should get that right. But I don't know what he's talking about.
What was the joke?
I can't remember. Like, it went
must have been good.
It went right through me. Like, I'm going, oh, G-Eazy with a joke. What?
Huh? You know what his real name is? Gerald Earl Gilliam.
Now, couldn't you be a success in the music business named Gerald Earl Gilliam? Is that impossible?
I would have gone Early G.
Early G is nice. How about this? G Whiz.
I like that. Isn't that Cheese Whiz.
Cheese Whiz. I would love to be. Next year at the MTV Awards, you're going to see me, G-Eazy and Cheese Whiz together.
I would love to hear your joke that someone wrote for you.
I didn't understand it.
I wish I knew what it was.
He's just like standing there. You know how mannequins have this thing where it looks like they're about to point at something?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so they go, here to introduce the next award, G-Eazy. And they go, everyone goes nuts. Oh, G-Eazy's here, woo! And I'm like, that's big, right? G-Eazy. And then he does a joke and the audience laughs. And I'm like, oh, I wish I understood that. But I don't, because I'm old.
Well, I know everyone's talking about Madonna, and she's getting a lot of backlash for making the Aretha Franklin tribute about her. But I got to defend Madonna here for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
She's a pretty huge celebrity to begin with.
I think so.
And I think it comes from your
heart.
She's
our generation's G-Eazy. Would you agree? Wouldn't you say? As G-Eazy is to the kids of today, Madonna was to us. Fair?
Yeah, all right. But, I mean, she's there as Madonna. They got her because she's a legend.
Yes.
To pay tribute to another legend.
Yes.
And growing up in Detroit and being a woman, even men, you know, wanted to be Aretha Franklin. Seriously, you could not respect, no pun intended, her voice.
Mm-hmm.
So Madonna wants to personalize it. I mean, you could get anybody up there to just read things and pay tribute to Aretha Franklin, but there's a reason Madonna was called up to do it, and I don't think there's anything wrong with her personalizing it.
I didn't hear her part of the speech, but on every website you see today, everyone's mad at Madonna saying, hey, you're supposed to pay tribute to this woman, not to yourself. But I can understand where she'd say, let's see how she related to me personally. I get that.
I do, too. She rambled on, this according to page6.com, she rambled on about how Franklin, who died Thursday of pancreatic cancer at age 76, helped her launch her own career. She said, Aretha Louise Franklin changed the course of my life. I left Detroit when I was 18, $35 in my pocket. My dream was to make it as a professional dancer. After years of struggling and being broke, I decided to go to auditions for musical theater. And then she discussed her early years as a struggling artist. But I think there's a correlation there of Aretha had that too.
Could there have been a little more balance? Don't you think some more time could have been spent paying tribute to her and not so much the history of Madonna, but more don't you think? Maybe.
It's just a tough thing. I don't know if you've ever been called upon to do an award, or, you know, last year was the year of the award for me, and I was honored at Riverside Brookfield High School for their Wall of Fame and the Italian American Association Impreza Award. And there's only, I mean, you want to bring something up that's personal.
Right.
But then you want to focus on what the main event is.
Right.
And I spent, you do a little background. I mean, maybe she went on a little too much because she was talking about, and then one day a French disco sensation was looking for backup singers and dancers for his world tour. I thought, why not? The worst that can happen is I can go back to getting robbed, held at gunpoint. Maybe she went a little too in-depth.
How long did she go between mentions of Aretha Franklin? Like, if she went more than a minute and a half... Because her job at that point was to pay tribute to Aretha Franklin. And I can certainly see bringing her own story into it. But if she goes too long without mentioning Aretha Franklin, then it doesn't work. Remember Oprah did this with somebody, and I don't remember who.
Music or an actor?
A couple of years ago, somebody died. It's killing me that I can't remember who. And Oprah paid tribute to them. And
Maya Angelou?
Was it Maya Angelou?
I bet it was. They were tight as ticks.
It might have been, but I'm not sure. But whoever it was, she mentioned at the very beginning, she said, oh, this person died. And then Oprah just talked about Oprah the whole time.
It's a really tough gig. It is, because you really do want to personalize it. And I get, you know, it's weird. I mean, Madonna wasn't being honored. I get that. But Madonna was brought up there for a purpose, to honor Aretha Franklin.
Sure. Was it British Madonna or was it U.S. Madonna?
I didn't.
It's not hard. You talk about the dead person. It's not hard.
That's kind of the easy part.
Yeah. I know, but anybody can just talk about the dead person.
Okay.
But I think if Madonna comes up and really, really sells the fact that Aretha Franklin was a giant and will never be equaled, then everybody goes away happy, right?
I guess maybe she tooted her own horn a little bit.
What?
It's just really a tough gig. It is.
Oh, sure it is. Of course it is.
Because they could bring someone up, just anyone. I mean, Ariana Grande could have come up there with Pete Davidson, just, you know, literally holding a coattail. That would have been pretty
funny.
No, if you
have a legend honoring a legend, the living legend's presence speaks for itself, and then she talks about the dead one. I mean,
that's how it is.
That's what you do.
With a British accent, Steve, or without a British accent?
It depends on, was this a worldwide event?
Worldwide.
Oh, then I go British accent.
British accent.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
How do you get a British accent from Michigan?
She lived in England for a while.
Yeah, I don't care. I visited Georgia for a while. I didn't come back talking like that.
Howdy!
Want a Coca-Cola?
Do you think there was anyone in the crowd there at MTV? Because, as you know, they skew a little younger. They skew a little younger, yeah. And they all try to outcool each other.
Yeah.
Do you think there was anyone in the room that when the Aretha Franklin tribute is given, they turned to the person next to him and they said, I'm not sure who that is?
No. There's no one.
Everyone in that room knew who she was?
Absolutely, 100%.
All right, I hope so. Jasmine has some information for us. That information is that the tribute that Oprah gave was for the great Mary Tyler Moore and mentioned her at the very beginning. At the very beginning, it's very sad we've lost a giant, Mary Tyler Moore. And then Oprah talked about herself for the next 3 minutes. Didn't mention Mary Tyler Moore at all. Zero.
Why was Oprah doing Mary Tyler Moore? And I don't mean that
I can't remember if, you know, Oprah has a show that's like on satellite television or something. Mm-hmm. And I think Mary Tyler Moore, I think, had been might have been her last appearance.
Were they
friends?
Pioneers as women in television, too.
Oh, that's true.
Production companies and things like that.
I wouldn't have picked Oprah to give her a tribute unless this was just on her own.
Dick Van Dyke.
I saw Dick Van Dyke on an infomercial yesterday for...
Yeah, he does a lot of them now.
Does he?
Yeah, he's done a couple of them lately.
Judge.
I'm not judging. I'm just saying.
I'm judging. What are you?
Well,
Dick Van Dyke is Dick Van Dyke.
Yeah, he does a lot of them.
Well,
he does it.
No, that's not where we should see Dick Van Dyke. Van Dyke should be held on a giant pedestal at all times.
He should be honoring Aretha Franklin at the MTV Awards.
Yes.
I actually saw Dick Van Dyke, and I thought, well, if he's doing it, maybe it's good because I like him that much.
the sell of an endorsement.
But, yeah, if Mary Tyler Moore dies, and she did, then you get Dick Van Dyke, or you get Norman Lear, or you get Ed Asner. Yeah. But Oprah just talked about herself and her friendship with Gayle King, and I'm like,
Here's my question.
Yeah.
Was Madonna booked before Aretha Franklin died?
I don't think so.
No, I think she was brought in to do the tribute.
Yeah. All right.
Because Madonna just wouldn't have talked about whatever, right?
Well, she might have.
Let's bring Madonna up to talk about Madonna.
To do a monologue. Right. Are you up for that, Madonna?
Turns out she did talk about whatever.
I used to love those darn MTV awards, too. I really did.
Even when I was in the age bracket of MTV, I felt too old to be watching it.
I've never watched one, ever.
I couldn't. After a while, I just couldn't watch it anymore because it was too. They just kept bringing people up that I didn't know who they were.
And then they slime people? Is that the show where
they slime people? No, that's the Nickelodeon
Awards. That's a totally different awards show, Steve.
The Kids' Choice. I watched that too.
That's better. I like that better. All right, we'll take a quick break and then there's more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. All right, Tina is on the line and believes she knows why Oprah was there to talk about the late Mary Tyler Moore. We're going back about a year now, but that was what happened. Tina, what do you know about this?
Well, back in the 90s, I was on I was on Oprah's show.
Oh,
it was
you
about
and Bill
classic.
Both. She is my idol, and she would love me. We would be great friends. Mm-hmm. And now Bill's been on the show, and now you, Tina.
How come you were on, Tina?
It was about classic TV. It was before she got into the heavy stuff.
Yeah.
Well, Oprah actually did her own opening of the Mary Tyler Moore Show, but about Oprah. It was pretty good. It was pretty good.
When you say did the opening, you mean it was just like the beginning where she throws her hat up in the air and she's looking around at the city.
But,
all right.
Google it, Bill. It's pretty well done.
I'd love to see it. All right.
And they got Mary to call in without telling Oprah that it was Mary, and Oprah just about fell on the floor. And Oprah told a story that when she first started out, she actually went to Minneapolis looking for WJM.
Oh, that's sweet.
So Mary Tyler Moore really was a huge influence on Oprah.
The working single woman.
Yeah.
Oh, that's sweet.
Exactly.
In the entertainment business and the news business. That makes sense. Well, we appreciate it. Thanks so much, Tina.
But that's the story.
It makes sense.
Did you touch Oprah? Did you get to shake her hand or anything, Tina?
Well, if you watch the episode, I was sitting next to her and talking to her about the Dick Van Dyke Show.
What?
That's like heaven from what you just described. Heaven.
All right, I'm going to look it up and I'm going to watch it. I'm going to be so jelly. I really am.
It was a fun day. I got to say, it was a very fun day.
Best moment of your life? One of the top 10.
In the top 10.
Wow.
I'm so jealous.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tina.
Wendy, we're not trying
you
to make you.
You guys are welcome.
Oh, thank you. It was so nice. We're not trying to make you jealous, but Tina's been on Oprah's show. I've been on Oprah's show. Steve, you said you were a guest on Oprah's show at some point, right?
I was asked, and I turned it down.
Jasmine, you were a guest a couple times on Oprah's show.
Yeah. My mom was.
Mary Vandevelde, she's been on Oprah a couple times. You're the only one I know who was not a guest on Oprah's show.
You're a mean, mean man, child.
Thank you for adding that last
Maybe
part.
Maybe she'll bring the show back, Wendy.
Yeah, there's a chance.
Here's the thing. I haven't watched Oprah's show in a long time, like double-digit years.
Yeah.
But I still love her.
Yeah.
I still love
her. Forever. Oprah love lasts forever. It doesn't go away. Like, there's other stars you love for a little while, and you go, that's enough of love for that guy. But Oprah, that's everlasting love.
What's she doing now? What's her OWN? Is that...
She's in construction now.
Right now, she's furious that she wasn't asked to do the tribute to Aretha Franklin.
Right. She watched it last night and couldn't believe it.
Are you kidding me?
I did, if I may, throw out a highlight from last night's show, and I didn't see the whole show because at some point it just became obvious I was too old, so I had a Metamucil and I went to bed. So Jennifer Lopez does this dance that I think a mating ritual because
insane. She has always been beautiful. She gets more beautiful every year.
How does that happen? She really
A-Rod.
Does. Is that what it is?
Yeah, and didn't Madonna go out with A-Rod too?
Yeah.
How weird was that backstage?
Oh, I didn't even think about that. Wow.
Hey, Madonna.
Right, just really quick.
Yeah.
It's Madonna, right?
Hey, Madge.
Madonna. Are you British still? Still British? Yeah? No? Not anymore?
I don't know what it is, and she did like a best of her hits. I couldn't name one. Isn't that terrible?
Yeah.
You can't either.
I don't think I can.
We are old.
But I recognized, like, well, there was the Jenny from the Block song.
Yeah.
So that was like a highlight. It went on for a good long time, and there was a lot of motion and emotion. There was both motion and emotion, sometimes simultaneous. But I, like, honestly, I don't have that thing that people have when they hear music and they just start to bop to
you
it.
I don't even move.
I don't have that. But I almost did that last night. I came within an inch of doing that.
We got to take him to a J-Lo show. You and A-Rod can sit next to each other.
That would be fun. That would be a lot of fun.
You would not leave him alone. You'd talk baseball the whole time, and he'd be like, can I watch my girlfriend?
That's pretty much what would go on, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
He seemed very proud of her.
Well, of course. It's J-Lo.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't be proud?
I was proud of her.
And, you know, maybe we shouldn't watch any of these award shows because we are too old. So does Mutual of Omaha still have an award show, a best of? Maybe yes. We could watch something.
All right.
Marlon Perkins.
I'm in for that one. I like that one. All right, we'll take a quick break. We've got news, and then there's a lot more coming up. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
White Sox! White Sox! Go, go, White Sox!
Let's go, 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 White Sox!
We're with you all.
That's beautiful, Wendy.
My grandfather loved the White Sox. I love the White Sox. My husband loves the White Sox, even though he grew up on the North Shore.
How about that? Did you know that this station, WGN, is the hometown station for the Chicago White Sox?
It's about time. They needed a little love.
I think so. I definitely think so. Speaking of a little love, here's a guy that both you and I love, just a little, Harry Tynowitz. Harry, how are you?
I'm wonderful. Morning, Wendy. Morning, Bill.
Today is a big day for the White Sox and White Sox fans because...
Somebody's moving on up.
Mm-hmm.
It's happy Michael Kopech Day. Michael Kopech, I don't want to get ahead of myself here, but Michael Kopech, who starts his first Major League Baseball game tonight for the White Sox, could very well become one of the greatest strikeout pitchers in the history of the game and make it to the Hall of Fame and take the White Sox to the World Series.
That could happen, or...
Or monkeys could fly out my...
That's fine.
Yeah.
All right, so he is extremely highly touted because he throws a fastball somewhere in the 100-mile-per-hour range, right?
Yeah, it's more than a fastball. As Bruce Springsteen would say in Glory Days, he'll throw that speedball by it.
Mm-hmm.
He was in the Chris Sale trade, as you... I don't have to tell you about the Chris Sale trade, Wendy.
Right.
But the White Sox got four players. They got Yoan Moncada.
Wow.
They got a guy.
Hang on, let me growl.
Okay,
I love him. They got
Luis Basabe, who's going to be like a great center fielder. But they got Michael Kopech. He's been clocked at throwing the ball 110 miles per hour with a running start.
Harry, be honest, they don't allow that in a game. But he does. I mean,
what do you mean they don't allow that?
You can't, like, when he threw a 110-mile-an-hour fastball, he wasn't standing on the mound. He ran toward the mound and threw it.
Okay, well, then why even mention that?
Because no one's done that. 110 miles per hour, no one's been clocked. No one's been running and throwing, first of all. But that's absurd. I did it once. I got 33. So.
All right. What is the fastest in baseball league history? A fastest pitch?
103, Harry?
Well, no. This year, a guy on the Cardinals threw it 105, and Michael Kopech was clocked in the minors officially at 105 miles per hour 2 years ago. But here's what makes him great: is not only does he throw the fastball like in the hundreds, but he throws a wicked slider. So, like, batters are up there going, okay, I've got to get ready to swing real fast, and then he'll throw this slider, and they're like, that's not fair. And he's been walking a ton of guys in the minors. That's why they haven't called him up yet. He's only 22.
Yeah.
But in his last seven games, how are these for, we call these statistics?
Yeah.
His last seven games, 59 strikeouts and only 5 walks.
That's tremendous. And
yes,
I saw him, Wendy, in AAA, he threw a pitch, and the ball got stopped for speeding. That never happens in baseball.
He got pulled over?
Yes. Yeah.
Why were you going so fast?
I had to be somewhere. I swear. I'll slow down. I swear. They don't know. All right. So that I can't remember the last time a pitching prospect has come up with that kind of praise. Can you?
No, I think not. I think, let's see, Kerry Wood maybe?
Maybe.
Was that, that's another thing, is the guy is from Texas, where all the great strikeout pitchers come from. Guys like Nolan Ryan and Roger Clemens and Terry Wood.
Yep.
He's from Tyler, Texas, same town that produced Earl Campbell.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how they produced him, but you know he must have been a musical at some point.
Right.
And he's dating, like the guy, so the guy has, you know, he throws the ball 105 miles per hour. He's 6'3". He's got long, beautiful, like, flowing, curly blonde hair. And he dates Vanessa Morgan, who is one of the stars of the TV show Riverdale.
How about that? Everything in the world going for this guy.
So do you hate him?
Harry, no, I am proud of him. I'm excited for him.
No, I was actually asking Bill.
I don't hate anybody.
Yes, you do.
I got a list. I'll read it later. All right, so Harry,
do you have your Michael Kopech action figure yet?
Yes, I do. I'm holding it right now. So is there any downside at all to him coming up and pitching in the major leagues this year? Everybody always says if you use up some games, that could come back to haunt you later on, you know, when they're trying to renegotiate his deal. Is that a concern?
Yeah, well, no, that's a very real concern because, like, the Cubs, you know, Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer were smart with Chris Bryant. They held him out, like, for the first 16 games of his rookie season.
Yeah.
And because they didn't give him the full season, he has one extra year still under the team control. So if the White Sox had waited till like the third week of April next year, you know, and they're not going anywhere this year except maybe third place.
Yeah.
But if the White Sox had waited, they would have had an extra year of control of Michael Kopech. Now the clock has started ticking. It'll start ticking as soon as he gets on the rubber tonight in the Twin Cities. And I mean, last year the most exciting game for the Sox is when they called Johan Moncada.
Oh, thank you for pausing.
Thank you, Catwoman.
Wendy's tiger is gargling.
It's got a frog in its throat.
This is the most exciting game. And then if you look down the line, his last game of the year, if they stay on the you know, the schedule, anything could happen. It's baseball. But if the Sox, a final home weekend of the season is against the Cubs. And on that final Sunday would be Michael Kopech's last start of the season. Hawk Harrelson's last game in the booth. And that would be kind of cool.
That would be really exciting for
the Sox. This guy could be one of the game's great pitchers, or he could just start throwing underhanded, which would scare everybody.
Right.
Well, here's the thing. You know, being brought up from the minors, of course, the pressure's on today. And I love more than anything when you see somebody, their first major league game, it's happened with the Sox where they hit a home run for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
That is so exciting. So I hope he's got it all together.
Daniel Palka hit a home run in his first major league game this year. And Bill, I believe when you debuted with the Devil Rays, you hit a home run.
I hit a home run off the scoreboard. Yep.
Yeah.
Good for
you. Harry, has anybody written a song about Michael Kopech?
Uh-oh. What a good idea.
Wouldn't that be something if somebody wrote a song about Michael Kopech?
Michael Kopech could.
Yeah. It might go.
He could do everything. The girl from Riverdale could.
It might go.
Paul Simon could.
How about Harry Tynowitz? Could he do it?
Yeah, I could do it. My friend Alexi Music sings. He sings it because he's really talented. And I wrote it. It's a song about the great Michael Kopech and how Sox fans have been waiting for him to get called up to the bigs.
All right, here's a little bit of that song available now on Arista Records and Tapes. Listen.
I was watching the Sox starting pitcher Kid Rock. Looked great last year when he threw. But they kept walking men, thought, here we go again. I wish they would call up you know who. When they can't hit his heater, some might call him a cheater. Clocked 110 down on the bar. We love the rebuilding plan, but please call up a man with a flamethrower for an arm. Won't you give us Kopech, Michael Kopech, Rick Hahn, give us Kopech on the mound. Won't you give us Kopech, if Kopech's on the bump, then the other teams are going down.
Great song selection.
So, yeah.
And great lyrics, Harry.
Well, thank you. If you like that version, you should hear G-Eazy do it.
We'll look for that. Harry,
we hear this in its entirety?
You can hear it Saturdays on the Mark Carmen Show, otherwise known White Sox Weekly, this week on Sunday following the Sox game.
Very good. We'll be listening to that, and I'll be watching and listening as Michael Kopech makes his debut for the White Sox later on tonight. Harry, thanks so much.
Oh, Bill, Wendy, Jasmine, thank you. I love the Tech Tuesdays.
Take care, Harry.
Thank you, Harry. And we'll get to the Tech Tuesdays.
Hey, before you go.
Yes, Steve.
The jury in the Paul Manafort trial has sent a note to the judge. The judge has read it in open court, and it has to do with it. I'm just breaking in because there are indications that we could be close to a verdict here. The question is, quote, if we cannot come to a consensus on a single count, what does that mean for the final verdict? We're not in the deliberations. You can figure out what that might mean or what it might mean to you. But it seems as if they're coming down to maybe one last count that they can't decide on. The judge told them to go back and redouble their efforts. So we'll see what that leads to. But certainly there is movement toward a verdict here one way or another in the Paul Manafort trial in Alexandria, Virginia.
Thanks, Steve. Keep us posted. We'll take a quick break and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
That music means it is a Tech Tuesday, Bill. And on the line with us from CNET is Ian Schur, executive editor at CNET, CNET.com. Ian, what's going on in the tech world? There's quite a lot of it going on today.
Oh, my gosh. It just feels like it's a nonstop torrent of stuff coming from the tech world every day.
All right. Where do you want to begin?
Well, I think CNET had a really great exclusive interview with Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella. And the reason that I went up there with our editor-in-chief, Connie Guglielmo, we went up to Washington and met with him and saw what he's doing, because Microsoft is trying to become a different company. You know, you may think of Microsoft as that company that makes the software that you have to use, right, your Word, Excel, and PowerPoint when you're at work, or maybe the Windows machine at your office. What they are trying to do is they are trying to revamp themselves and really become much more of a company that you enjoy using, that you enjoy using their stuff, and that you actually want to actually look to them as an innovator. And that's actually a lot harder than it seems, because the company had become very aggressive, had become very tough to work with for a long time, and they had been in some ways resting on the laurels. And now they seem to be changing things 4 years into this new CEO's reign.
And what will we see? Because is it trying to be hipper, or what is it trying to do?
You know, it's funny. Actually, Nadella says that he is proud to be not cool, right? Which is so un-Silicon Valley of him. But, you know, I think that what's going to happen is that you are going to end up using a lot more Microsoft products, even though you don't know it. One of the things that Microsoft has really struggled to do is convince Silicon Valley that it's valuable what it does. You know, a lot of Silicon Valley uses Apple computers. A lot of Silicon Valley uses Amazon servers and Amazon stuff. And they avoid Microsoft almost because they're all angry at it for the way it behaved back in the 90s and the aughts. And so now the company is really trying to turn that around and say, look, we have our advanced artificial intelligence technology. We are able to protect your information and make sure that it's not hacked from Russians. We're able to do all these other things that you need anyway, so why not work with us more? And I think that that's a very different strategy than what it was back, you know, a couple of decades ago, where they owned the world because they have had a monopolistic hold on it all, and they were able to control the direction of the tech industry. They definitely don't now, but they want to have at least a voice in it.
And speaking of hacks, the Russians have, it's been, I think, proven that they have hacked into some of our stuff. But what happened when President Obama was in office? Did he put up some security?
You know, it's really fascinating. Obama, we found out with another story on CNET that we actually learned the way that the Obama campaign kept itself from being hacked. And what it was that they used these little security keys. And it's really fascinating. They're little things that kind of plug into your USB port. So you might have a USB stick that you carry around that you shuffle files around. Well, imagine one of those that only does security. So you go to a website, you go to your email, you type in your name and then your password. And then it says, okay, plug in your little key. And when you do that, only then will it let you in. And if you don't have that key, you're not able to get into your email. And they say that is what kept them from getting hacked in 2008 and 2012. They also point out that the Democratic nominee and for president in 2016, right, Hillary Clinton, did not use this tough security. And obviously we learned how all that played out. So it was a good lesson for a lot of us that, you know, a lot of basic security can do a lot of good. And by the way, our banks, our Facebooks, our Twitters all offer equivalent stuff where they send you a text message with a code or whatever. So you can turn that stuff on for yourself today and protect yourself really a lot from being hacked just by using that kind of technology.
Ian, let's go to the InfoWars story. A little background. There's a guy named Alex Jones who seems like a fun guy. Seems like he's very easygoing, good to hang out with. He's had some videos that have been banned from Facebook, from Twitter, from YouTube. Where does that stand?
Well, so it's worth noting that Alex Jones, not just being a fun guy, he actually makes a living by attacking victims of mass shootings.
Yeah.
He actually has claimed that the children who died at Sandy Hook Elementary School in 2012 were not real, that they were a government hoax.
Right.
And people have gone and made death threats to the families who are grieving. The New York Times actually profiled one family who can't even live near their child's grave because they get harassed so much. Can you imagine that?
No.
So Alex Jones was kicked off of all of these social networks. You know, they were kicked off of Facebook. He was kicked off of YouTube. He wasn't allowed to use Apple Podcasts anymore. But Twitter would allow him to continue. And they have steadfastly said, look, we're not going to kick him off because the rest of the tech industry does. And it's been a really fascinating debate that Twitter has created by saying, look, you know, we value free speech, which, of course, all of us do. But the question is, when you deal with people like Alex Jones, who's been warned multiple times that you can't act this way on social networks, is against their rules, that when he continues to do that and act in bad faith, how is it okay to continue to let him behave? And that is where we are right now, is that there's this massive debate. And you saw over the weekend, Donald Trump, the president of the United States, tweeted about how he's concerned Silicon Valley is silencing conservative voices. So it's not just Alex Jones anymore. Now people are defending Alex Jones, despite all the terrible things he's done to shooting victims, saying that his right to free speech should not be impinged.
Well, the president is a huge fan of Alex Jones's and has appeared on the show. So I understand him giving him his support. I mean, that's no surprise.
The Twitter CEO, if, you know, they go against it, they lose their biggest tweeter, which is Donald Trump.
Yeah.
There definitely is. You could make an argument that there's a business reason why they're doing this. But look, the last thing Twitter needs at this point is to continue to be seen as a place that's full of harassment and trolls and bad behavior. It's bad enough for them already. They're not growing anymore. And they, in capitalism, you have to grow to succeed. So at one point, they need to turn this around, or they're going to deal with much larger issues going forward.
Right. Wendy, could you say that President Trump is the world's biggest tweeter again? That was my favorite part of the show so far.
Tweeter, tweeter, tweeter. All right. Well, we got a lot going on. You can find out more at CNET.com. I punch it up very frequently. Ian Schur, executive editor at CNET. Thank you so much on this Tech Tuesday. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Take care, Ian. Ian Schur, everybody. We'll take a quick break, get you some news, and then a lot more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Bertrand, I wish you could stick around for this because it's going to be very uncomfortable for Bill.
It already is.
Oh, I'd like to see that.
It already is.
In fact, I feel like letting you introduce our next guest.
No, I'm not doing it. Nope.
Mara Altman is with us. She's written a book, author of Gross Anatomy, Dispatches from the Front and Back. And Mara, I've been dying to talk to you because being a woman, we have been faced with some gross things that happen to us throughout the years. So
that is true. Thank you.
Before we had you on, I said, you know, a lot of times I joke, I'm half Italian. My mustache is the Italian half. I mean, we wax, we do things, and guys just want to think we're perfect all the time. But we have some really gross things that come out of our bodies, don't we?
We do. Yeah.
Well, thanks for being with us, Mara.
Okay.
No, Bill's already uncomfortable.
I'm not comfortable with this.
All right.
Bill, how are you feeling?
Queasy.
Okay. Perfect.
All right. I know that the bearded lady was in one of those circus sideshows many, many years ago. But come on, let's talk facial hair. We all have it. Thankfully, I'm blonde.
Mm-hmm.
But I look like a human peach sometimes if I don't get, my face thrown.
Yeah. I am I have very dark hair, so I am the opposite. And I guess I would look more like a tarantula. I don't know. No, so, yeah, this book explores all the things that are natural and essential body parts and functions, but we tend to have shame around. So I would even put quotations around the gross part of it because we've just kind of been taught and it's been passed down that it's gross, but it's actually these things like vaginal scent and sweat stains and camel toe and hemorrhoids. They're just kind of normal things that happen to the body.
You just,
and sometimes they're even really helpful.
Mara, you just mentioned all of our CB handles.
All right. You know, when you wear tight pants, sometimes you get a view of something that you don't want. These are things that you have to look in the mirror and go, wait a minute, I'm not getting the right size or it's just not fitting me right. I'll confess another thing. When I was in junior high and high school, I sweat a lot. I mean, I didn't smell, but I pitted out of like everything. I was sometimes embarrassed to get a light colored dress for like one of the school dances because you didn't want sweat rings. And it's funny because then I found out my mom had the same issue.
Yeah.
And back in the 50s, and they would put, I can't remember what they're called, but like a shield, like a sweat shield that they would sew into dresses.
Oh.
And it's like I was always embarrassed about that. And then I'm sorry, when you start worrying about it, you sweat more. So these are things
exactly
that happen.
Right.
Bill has a wife and two 21-year-old daughters.
They don't sweat at all. None of them do.
Have you ever gone to the store to get them tampons or anything?
Nope.
Because that was the first hurdle to get over is sending your boyfriend or husband or significant other to the store to get you tampons.
You embarrassed Mara. Are you happy? You're
No.
The author of the book is upset now. So the shame,
no way.
Mara, the shame must end, right? Whose job is it to tell girls that the shame is unnecessary? Who's supposed to be doing that?
I mean, I think a lot of it is just starting to talk about it. Like what you guys are doing right now by having me on is great. We're talking about it, finding out where the shame comes from, realizing that these body parts are actually very functional and great, and just showing more variation of the norm. You know, we see very narrow ideas of what's beautiful. So we have all these people who are trying to fit into that desperately. And it's almost impossible. So I think, just, you know, talking about the pitting out is a great start.
I know. Hello, my name is, and I'm a Sweaters Anonymous.
Right.
And other things, you know, when I became pregnant for the first time, that is when all of a sudden I just didn't care anymore. Not about myself, but it's like, you know, you're worried about going to the doctor. You're worried about your husband being involved. At some point, you just want to get that baby out and you just don't care. All of a sudden, your areola become the size of saucers for your morning.
They're like...
Waiter, can we get the check, please? Can you just
they're pepperoni.
Yeah, can I just tell you something, Mara? I love this book, Gross Anatomy, but I almost feel like, you know, I could have handled this on my own. The reason your nipples become or your areolas become so dark and big is, you know, babies have bad senses of sight, and it helps them to find it when they're breastfeeding. That's nature. How could that be bad?
Exactly. Yeah. It's hard to get used to. It happens really fast. I just had twins a bit ago.
Congratulations.
And thanks. And it was some shocking stuff. But yeah, it's all very cool when you look into why is it happening.
Were these your first children, Mara? The twins you just had? Is this the first time you had kids? All right, so what you wrote a book called Gross Anatomy. What happened during that process that surprised even you? What changed the most that surprised you?
About the pregnancy?
About your body and what changed and what happened. There must have been at least one thing that kind of shocked you.
I mean, I found tons of interesting facts, like the fact that sex sounds have a lot in common with, like, the grunt we do when we're trying to poop.
Oh.
I found that really fascinating.
Or working out.
Yeah.
Yeah, or working out.
Yeah.
They're all cousins.
Yeah.
I like that fact a lot. I like the fact that lice, when they're having sex, if one dies during intercourse, they can't separate, and so one ends up carrying that other one around until, you know, it's the end. And
this is mice.
And I'm trying to figure out if that's like very, very romantic or the most unromantic thing.
Did you say mice do that?
Life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So who's having sex and then one dies and they can't be separated? Because you got to keep them separated.
Yeah. Well, it'd just be nice not to have to carry one around.
Who is it that you're talking to? I mean, what animal? What human?
I'm reporting?
No, somebody's carrying somebody, but we're not sure who.
I didn't hear what you said.
Is one of the babies carrying the other baby? Because that's not right.
Oh, you didn't hear the story? No.
No.
I wrote a chapter about lice, like louse. You know, they live in your hair.
That's what I said, lice, yes. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, those.
Oh, lice are
that was a fact about lice.
Okay.
Yes.
Now it makes sense. And it's sick. I'm sick to my
stomach.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, but here's the thing. This book is, it's personal. It answers questions. I think it's definitely Gross Anatomy is made for a woman, but men should read it too, much like Irish Spring.
Mara, I'm sure you've thought of this. There could easily be, you could write a guy's version of this so easily. You know that, right?
I think there's a lot that could be written about men's bodies, yes.
Yep.
Absolutely.
See, we know all that, though, because the guys always tell you about it.
Right.
You know, really, you're not ashamed, you know? If you're at a health club and you're sweating or something, you don't apologize for it. Women do. We feel bad when all these things happen, yet they're very natural.
Yeah.
So
I think, yeah. And this book would give them insight into all the things we're kind of thinking and going through.
I think you've done a great job with this. This basically is for every woman who has ever heard the phrase, that is so gross, whether it be hairy legs. I mean, we all Americans, we try to defuzz ourselves completely, but in Europe, there are a lot of people that have hair on their legs, and guys don't look at those women and go, ew, gross. But here, it's different. And armpit hair, too.
Absolutely. It's really what you're just used to seeing and what's kind of held up as the beauty norm.
I hope this isn't too personal, and I'll make it less personal. The first question in my head I have reformulated. Women are shaving more now in different places than they used to.
So are men.
And so are men. That's true. All right. So what brought that change about, and when will that stop?
It's a great question, but I've heard some people are saying that the Bush is coming back. So
politically,
it's hard to know.
No.
So we've had like a 15 or 20 year period there where that was the thing to shave down, but now you're saying
it's more natural.
It's changed now.
It's changed. It same thing happened with eyebrows, didn't it, Mara?
Yeah, they were all thin, and now it's all about being bushy. It's like you just got to not get laser, because what if, you know...
That's forever.
That part, you're supposed to start showing your hair again. Yeah. But the interesting thing, too, about the bush is that, you know, once people... Some labiaplasty surgeons I talked to said that labiaplasty has become a lot more popular since people are taking off all their hair, because it's another thing to criticize.
Yeah.
They can see it so much better now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of dumped you.
Oh.
I took some stuff out, Mara, because, you know, there could be kids listening before school is back in session.
Or my friends.
Sorry.
No, that's all right. But see, that's why you can read it in a book to find out things. It's just, you know, I think back of the eyebrow, I had one point where it was like three hairs in the middle and then just one. They were so thin, and thank God they grew back.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I used to think love was forever, but as Bill pointed out, laser is forever.
Laser is forever, Wendy.
So
it's
that's
so
good
true.
To know. Mara, you've done a great job with this book. Twitter, you can follow you at Mara Altman, and Gross Anatomy and Body Positivity. You've done a great job. And
congrats on those twins.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. We appreciate talking to you. Wherever books are sold. I just panicked.
Well, she mentioned a couple of things that maybe some more sensitive listeners might not be comfortable with. So, yeah, we had to do some quick editing.
Yeah, I edited it one time, not the other time. But, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. I like seeing you get embarrassed.
I know. This that's turned around on me.
A rare photograph to watch you become embarrassed. That was fun.
Right. Rats spoiled again.
Yeah.
I thought this was going to be an embarrassment for you, but no,
it turned out the opposite.
I do feel like Kathy and Judy are bad.
Well, see, they wouldn't have dumped anything. No, I don't think I get nervous.
Mary, if you could have seen Wendy's face, one eye went one way, the other way went the other way. Uh-oh. That was fun to watch.
All right, whatever.
Wendy,
I could just see her panicking in the chair because she's sitting down.
I was standing. Now,
and then you passed out for a minute.
I need to take a break.
Yeah. Yep. All right. It's break time for Wendy. Are you still embarrassed?
No, but you know, the book is interesting, and I wanted to discuss
Gross Anatomy, Mara Altman.
I wanted to discuss things because, you know, I'm the only girl in my house, so my two sons and Jim have dealt with stuff.
Yeah.
That, you know, women go through that they don't.
Right.
You being the only guy, you're surrounded by women. Sometimes things happen. Yeah. I expected her to open up a little more about the book, when in essence,
You were the open book.
Yeah.
Yes, you were.
I mean, I typically always am, but...
Yeah.
I wanted some examples from her.
Right.
I didn't, you know, I could have interviewed myself.
That would be a great podcast. Think about that. It's you just interviewing yourself every week. I would listen to that.
I know you
that
would
be a lot of fun. Do that.
Do you know what this Gatorade hack is?
I do not.
All right. I have seen this all over Facebook. It's all over the place. And BuzzFeed is talking about it.
Is this ways so you can make your own Gatorade? Is that what it is?
No, this is something about the cap that I've never tried. And I am going to try it today.
Mm-hmm.
There was this life-changing post of hashtag SportsGuyMarv. And he discovered something that may change the way you see the world forever. This is from BuzzFeed.com.
Mm-hmm.
And Karen Esch wrote this. I've had Gatorade forever. And I saw this on a video saying, you know, please say what year you discovered this. And they showed someone taking the cap off a Gatorade, and then at the very bottom of the bottle, you could screw the cap there. First of all, who needs to do that?
Well, I don't understand why you would do that.
I don't either, but...
You take the cap off the top, and then you re-screw it onto the bottom.
Yeah, the bottom. There's like a little area at the bottom,
and the cap
fits on there, too. So it's like, how old were you when you found out the bottom of a Gatorade frost bottle is made to hold the cap?
I found out 11 seconds ago.
So did I. And I thought, am I the only person that doesn't know this?
You are not. I saw it too. I had no idea.
And why are people doing it, Kim? Do we know why?
That's the best question ever.
Why do you need it? Well, I guess, if you want to drink, but usually if you're drinking a Gatorade, you're opening the cap and then you're putting the cap back on and setting it down.
Right.
All right, here's the thing with things with caps. Miller Lite makes these tin, I don't know, they're pints, I guess, and they have a screw top.
Oh, I've seen those,
And I make Jim get those because he always spills beer. So I thought, hey, put a lid on it, as he tells me every day.
Right, right.
But I said, you know, the screw taps, plus there's more beer in it, so then you can screw the cap on it, and if you knock it down or whatever, it doesn't spill.
Right.
Well, he throws the cap out, which is what most people do when they're going to drink a bevy.
Well, also, with a lot of drinks, like beer or soda, it's carbonated, so by recapping it, you're not letting carbonation escape. Gatorade's not carbonated. There's no reason to worry about the cap, really.
All right. I have a glass of water, or a bottle of water here, and I have a cap on it. And when I'm finished drinking, I put the cap back on because if I spill it.
Oh, yes, for spilling. And
right, and for transporting in your purse or your car or whatever. But I got to tell you something. I'm a little anal about the outside of the bottle, because when people are packaging it or putting it on a shelf, or maybe somebody decided to grab this bottle of water and change their mind, I don't think it's real clean on the outside of the bottle.
Oh.
So why in God's name would I take the cap and screw it to the bottom?
I'm not sure why anyone would do that.
All right, well, I just wanted to know.
But everyone else knows this, except
That's a load. Somebody figured it out and wants us to feel small that we never knew how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So
does it work with other sports drinks, or is it just Gatorade?
It's only on the bottom of Frost Gatorade, allegedly.
That's the bluish white, like a bluish silver one.
Yeah.
Remember when Gatorade was just Gatorade flavored? And now if you go to the store, the entire aisle is Gatorade flavors.
I know.
There, it was just citrus and that was it. And it was at the end of like wherever like soda was sold, there was like a little part of the shelf that was Gatorade and that's all you had. And now I can't even count the flavors. There's so many.
I know. I do.
Sometimes you don't even know what flavor it is. It'll just be, it'll say autumn or something.
Right. And it's clear.
I don't know what flavor autumn is.
I know.
Is it pumpkin spice?
That would be a good one.
I don't want any.
Yeah, there are so many flavors of everything, and they've bastardized everything, and I blame the Oreo people that started it. Because yesterday, my son Michael said, oh, I had peach Coke. It was really good. And I said, what?
That's one of their diet. There's four designer diet flavors, and that's one of their designer flavors.
Try the mango. I think there's a mango in it.
Was it gross? It sounds
gross. It's not gross, but if I'm getting a Diet Coke, I expect
you want it to be Coke flavored.
To taste like Diet Coke.
Yeah.
If I want mango chutney drink, I'll make my own. All right. Well, Kim, I'm glad you said something about this Gatorade thing, because first and foremost, I just learned it when I looked at the post yesterday. And second of all, I don't know why you'd need to do
that. I'm not sure why either. I don't know. All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break. We'll get you some news, and then there's a lot more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Oh, this is so cool. I've never been part of an act that an audience actually wanted to see. Come on, let's go.
Okay, well, I guess Pat, show up, guys. Fozzie, hold down the fort.
Yes, sir.
Are we just running the Muppet Show?
I don't know. What's going on?
I have no idea what this is.
Weezer!
Yeah! Are we talking about the Muppets?
I wasn't going to. I don't know.
Can you?
Do you want it? Do you want Muppet talk? I have no idea.
Well, the Muppets like Weezer.
Here's what I wanted to talk about. I don't know where that came from. At the beginning of the show, we were talking about the MTV Awards, which were on last night. And by the way, they weren't just on MTV. They were on other channels as well. Like, I was flipping around, and I had Comedy Central on, and Comedy Central was running the MTV Awards. I'm not sure why.
Are those all the same company?
I think they must be. They must have the same parent company, or there'd be
no reason
to do that.
So, like an encore performance?
No, it was...
All
it was
at the
a
same
half
time?
An hour. No, it was a half an hour behind the MTV feed of the MTV Awards. But I can't.
What's happening to this crazy
world?
I don't know.
All right, but the reason
were the
I bring
Muppets
it up,
on the
MTV
Awards? Music Awards, Jazz?
No, she says
I don't hear.
I'm not sure why we. All right. Anyway, I was talking about the award show and how nothing makes, and I'm sincere when I say this, nothing in the world makes me feel older than watching those award shows, because everybody's 20, which is fine, but I don't know who they are.
You're not 20.
I'm sure they're famous. I'm thinking for music, but now they just showed, although I heard some of it and I'm not thrilled with it, but the more I talk, the older I sound, so I will stop. But now they just showed on television, they showed highlights of some of the fashions from the MTV Awards. Be honest, I know you're very open-minded when it comes to the world of fashion. There were things that were from another galaxy being worn last night.
It's too much. I mean, it's weird. I like fashions, like I liked the grunge look. I still am kind of grungy sometimes. Yeah. I liked
the Kurt Cobain-y kind of flannel
shirts,
torn
jeans.
Yeah.
I liked the 80s. I know I really went through a lot of the 80s and 90s with leggings. I didn't even call them leggings.
Yeah.
A little bit of my ankle showing, black ankle boots, like a mini skirt and a big blazer that I'd get at Goodwill or Salvation
Army.
Who
did you see wear? Yeah, Madonna wore it, so you said I can do this.
Cyndi Lauper.
Oh, yeah.
I liked that look, and I tried to be a little different. But when you look at what's going on there now, a little different is outer spatial.
Well, I know I'm sure the pressure is on for them to outdo each other and to outrage each other, you know,
like, and outfit each other.
And you will get a lot of attention by doing that. But we just saw some of the highlights of the fashions from last night.
That's a highlight.
You can't get that off the rack, right?
No, was it Amber Rose Jazz? Is that who that was?
Amber Rose.
Yeah, Amber Rose.
Now she
was famous because why, Jasmine? Why would we know Amber Rose?
Oh, Lord. Okay.
She dates celebrities, right?
She dated Kanye West. She dated Wiz Khalifa.
Is she a musician? Does she sing? Does she act?
She's a model.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, so am I for some things.
Yeah. But she's more, is this fair to say she's more famous for the people she's dated than for anything she's done on her own, probably?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. She also has that slut walk.
The slut walk?
Yeah, where girls get together. It's supposed to bring women together because they can wear whatever they want.
Right. The more outrageous, the better.
You know, women empowerment.
All right.
Women empowerment is different. Anybody can wear whatever they want and they can walk the way they want. That's women's empowerment.
Right.
Why do you have to saunter?
Is that the part?
I don't know.
The part that bothers you.
Well,
ladies, wear what you want, but once you start sauntering, you have lost a fan in me.
I don't know. Wear what you want. If it's something that you enjoy, then wear it. If it's something you're just wearing, even if you want to be different, go ahead. But she borrowed something from Madonna around the phase when Madonna went through that very pointy brassiere phase where they looked like torpedo missiles.
Right.
But bright red all over.
Right. Is that the Betty Page look, kind of? No?
But
It's like a pointier throwback to the... Right. But it's like a throwback to the bombshells of the 40s.
It's like neo-Betty
Everything
Page.
Was... Yeah, I guess so. Everything's very angular, and you got to wear protective goggles because you never know. You're going to get hit in the eye with something. You got to be very careful.
Daft Punk may be around, so you have to have goggles on.
Right.
Kylie Jenner was sporting some beautiful things. It's a lovely little double-breasted belted trench coat, which I'm sure every guy was imagining she was naked underneath.
She looked, now that, to me, what she's wearing there is sensible and functional. Am I sounding like Mr. Blackwell? Because I am to myself.
No,
but it looks, I mean,
you're not mean enough.
It looks like
it's a trench coat.
Yeah, it's very Humphrey Bogart-y.
Right, which, a lot of times.
If he forgot to wear his pants. Remember how every once in a while Humphrey Bogart would just forget to wear his pants and he had the trench coat on? That's what it looks like.
Jennifer Lopez, it's an okay. You can amuse yourself. I ignore you. Jennifer Lopez.
James, I forgot to put my pants on. Remember, that was my favorite scene from Casablanca was when he and Ilsa were at Rick's and he apologized for forgetting his pants. It made me cry.
I was watching.
Shame, those pants. Put those pants on me again, Shame. That's a famous line from Casablanca.
What I was just watching the CNN special on comedy, and they featured some W.C. Fields.
Yeah.
And he didn't swear, but he would, like, when he said drats, you knew what he meant.
Right.
And there was another one, Godfrey Daniels.
Great Godfrey Daniels.
Yeah.
Yeah, that
for,
was
like
his,
the GD.
Yeah, that's how he would get away with
that
swearing.
That was pretty funny.
I thought so.
And very clever.
Yeah. But he's another guy. Because of the evolution of what is and isn't acceptable, I have to think that a lot of what W.C. Fields got away with then, 1,000 years ago, people would see now and they go, oh,
no way.
That guy with his dirty talk.
Even the Three Stooges. I mean,
Oh, yeah.
I was talking to my son Michael about him, and I said, they say women don't like the Three Stooges. And I said, I do because I used to watch them with my dad.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's a nostalgia thing. And it was back then, that was kind of funny to me. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And Marx Brothers were funnier,
but still
slapsticky like that.
But the Marx Brothers weren't constantly pounding on each
other. Well, that's what I was telling Michael. In today's world, it's like all they did was like really abuse one another
constantly, terribly. That was the whole act.
But then look at Tom and Jerry.
Yeah.
I mean,
Tom
that's
and Jerry
just,
also.
That was funny when people beat on each other.
Lighting each other on fire with dynamite and stuff.
Thank God we've evolved in some ways.
Right.
Blake Lively looks stupid.
Last night or in
from
general?
The,
from last night?
The
I didn't,
MTV
I
Music
did not
Awards.
See Blake Lively, but that, now that's somebody who I would have recognized. Oh, she's wearing...
she looks like the Good Humor Lady. It's a long skirt with a very fitted three-buttoned blazer.
Yeah.
Shoulder pads, slimming silhouette. It just is very high-necked blouse. It does nothing for me. She looks
very
fine.
Very provincial looking.
It is very provincial.
Yeah. Maybe she thought it was a party for Handmaid's Tale or something. Maybe she got the wrong invitation.
Nicki Minaj is...
Yeah. You almost have to put 3D glasses on to enjoy what she was wearing last night. You can't. The naked eye is not ready for it. 3D glasses is the only way to go with Nicki Minaj.
And I have to give credit to Jasmine. You can help me on this. She plays what's her name on Orange is the New Black? Daria. What's her name? She's Hispanic. She is. I can't think of her name.
I don't know who that is.
I'll find her name.
She was there last night?
Yes, this dress she had on, and she's a she's a full-bodied woman.
Yeah.
It was covering just her upper portions.
Yeah.
And then the middle.
I know her name. Dianara Diaz?
Yes.
Oh. Yeah.
What's her character name? I can't think of it for the life of me right now.
I
Orange
just remember
Dianara,
because she used to say it all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's it.
It was covering, like, the women's Bermuda Triangle.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, it was just little things covering up top and then at the bottom. But then you could see, like, the side of her hip was exposed, even though it was a long, lacy dress.
So you got to hope that it doesn't get windy,
That's taped down.
Is it?
Oh, double-sided
tape
all the way. Well, no, but
like,
are you going to risk
gaffer's
it?
Tape or something?
No, it's just double-sided tape.
Oh.
There's no way you would go without that.
Plus,
it was so form-fitting, I don't think it would have moved.
Really?
Although I know someone here that shall remain nameless, and I really think we should keep it nameless.
Yeah.
But she was telling us she was at this event, and the lining of her dress rode up so you could see her Spanx.
Oh.
Remember we were
talking
about that?
Yeah.
So maybe double-sided tape is in order for everyone.
Not enough. You got to get more than that. I would get Gorilla Glue. I would have Gorilla Glue
You'd
on me.
Never get your dress off.
We'll see how the night goes. All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break and then a little bit more show.
All right, I'm trying to find a picture of the girl from Orange is the New Black to show you from the MTV Music Awards, because I got to tell you, it's sexy.
Is it? But it's very minimalistic, very small. No, I haven't seen it, so I can't begin to guess, but you did see what she was wearing. What does something like that cost, do you think?
You know what? I have no idea how these people, they make a lot of money. So is it because of these shows that say, what are you wearing? And then you say, I'm wearing Jasmine Cooper, so then I get it free?
Maybe.
Wow.
I can't speak for the MTV Awards because...
You're too old?
I'm too old to speak for the MTV Awards, but the award shows that I do understand and I watch, your Emmys, your Grammys, your Tonys, the Academy Awards, a lot of times the bigger stars end up not paying for those outfits at all. They're given by the designers so that when they're on the red carpet, they mention the designer's name, and then all of America goes, well, we have to go get a similar dress. So it's a reciprocal agreement where everybody wins,
Who's going to get that dress?
I don't know.
Ever in
They're
real life.
They're so expensive, but what also happens is then there's knockoff versions of those dresses. There's a bunch of design teams that make slightly different versions of those dresses, much, much cheaper versions of the dresses. But have you ever seen anything on an award show and run out the next day and go, I got to have it, I got to buy it, I got to find it and wear it somewhere? That doesn't
Where
happen.
Where do I go that I'm going to wear? I'd look stupid coming to work in an evening gown.
Well, every once in a while, just try it. See what a difference it makes.
No, I refuse to do that. I can't find the...
I was seeing the other day, you know, Sofia Vergara has a line of eyewear, you know, various glasses.
Does she wear glasses? I've never seen her in glasses.
That's what I was going to say to you, is it's a two-pronged attack. Part number one, I don't remember ever seeing Sofia Vergara in glasses. And number two, is the consumer to believe that Sofia Vergara is sitting down at a draft table designing eyewear? I don't think she does that. I think somebody probably comes up to her and shows her a dozen pictures, and she goes, this one and this one. And then her name is on it, and you pay for it.
You'd think that she'd be involved, maybe not at the draft table or something, but she would say, these are cute. I'm looking for... Because I have an invention that I'm going to come up
with. What is the invention?
I don't want to give it out on the air. I told you it off the air.
Just a hint.
There are certain things that I'm looking for... It's like a household thing.
Yeah.
Decor, let's just say.
Yeah.
And
it's all always flowery and pink,
right.
And I want more of a masculine type look for these things.
Yeah, what's wrong with that? That would work.
But it's not clothing. It's bed sheets. I'll tell you right there. There aren't any cool looking bed sheets that can be unisexual. Like I like a gray plaid or something. I don't want flowers all the time, and I can't find cool sheets.
Brooklinen.com, Wendy. Brooklinen.com.
You know what? I'll be honest with you. I did look at Brooklinen.com, and the gray and white stripes are kind of what I'm looking for.
That works.
But you know, sorry to them if I create my own.
But it can't be like with a lot of women's bedwear. It's flowers and stuff like that, and guy, you can't, if you put sailboats or duckies or something,
and
then
it's juvenile, even for like a teenage bed boy,
right?
Boy bed,
yeah. Hey, bed boy,
whatever. I can't find, like, I'll buy them sheets, and they're like, I don't want
too
pineapples,
baby-ish. Right?
I'm like, I know, but there's really nothing else,
right? Do you still have those pineapple sheets, by the way?
I'll give them to you. I just don't like plain sheets,
Steve.
I don't know.
I used to,
hold on,
I got you on. I don't know why it's not working.
I used to.
It's not working. Don't we have to take a break anyway?
Yeah, we'll take a break and then see. Oh, Steve, try that one. Try that one. See that one. See if that one works.
Okay, go ahead.
I used to buy my sheets at the Great Ace.
Oh, you did? At Ace
I'm
Hardware?
I'm not kidding you. That's where I buy my man sheets.
Yeah.
Ace Hardware?
Yeah, it was the Great Ace.
Yeah.
You used to have the bigger ones, the Great Ace?
I never knew there was a Great Ace.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, much bigger than the regular Ace.
All right.
We'll take a break.
Recently?
No, in the 80s, but I still use them.
They held up.
Wow.
You're good.
Right.
That long, Steve?
Aren't you using them? Jeez, if you're not using them.
Steve has vote for Lyndon Johnson sheets on his beds at home. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then we'll find out what Steve has on the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.